Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do something weird today and use this. Is that okay? That feels weird. That's only one of the weird things I'm going to do today. As I was preparing for this morning, before I even get into that, I have to say again, I don't know if you guys think about this much, but I am just so grateful for the staff here at Meridian. Of course, I'm not talking about myself because that would be awkward. But like, I have been so honored to get to serve with Daniel, and now to have Emily as someone else who's here. Like, man, what a gift! So I'm thankful for you, Emily, and I'm thankful for our team, and I'm thankful for the example that Pastor Daniel is to, you know, make sure he takes time to rest and be reinvigorated and be ready to go. Spoiler alert, that's what I'm going to talk about today. So what a great example we have in him and his family and in conjunction of what I'm going to talk about today. But anyway, as I was preparing for today, you know, something I do, which I think I say this pretty much every time. Whenever I preach, I always look back in the archives. I'm like, okay, well, what have I talked about before? Of course, you know, I don't want to bore you guys and just say the same stuff over and over again. And I don't want to, I don't know. I like seasons, and I like to think about what I said in certain times. And so I look back in the archives, and I realize that just last March, I did my famous let's just have a chat, right? You guys remember this? Where it's like, we're not going to do a sermon today. We're just going to have a chat. And I pulled up a chair. I brought my coffee, and we just had a chat. And I thought, oh my gosh, maybe this could be a March thing. So let's go, okay? It's spring. We're like, we're tired of winter. Let's just have a chat, okay? So you guys up for a chat today? Well, it's too bad because I'm in charge. Whether you want to or not, you're not in charge right now, so I don't know what to say. So as you may have seen, I brought my coffee up, so I'm ready. Okay, camera people, you know, whatever needs to happen. They're like, you could have warned us. So it was a surprise. I wanted it to be a surprise. Oh, this is wrong now. Hold on. All right, so let's have a chat. Now, I thought this was really appropriate in a lot of different ways because just this past week, I was talking with a few of my colleagues and mentors and friends. Hang on. Did you know, like, four billion people in the world drink coffee? And so, I mean, you can't argue with 4 billion people. Like, that's a lot, okay? So just if you want to, Bob, I'm looking at you. It's fine. It's okay. My wife back there, she's one of the weird ones too. Anyway, coffee. Now, I was talking to some people this week, and I had realized that I was tired. Now, I knew as I was preparing for this year, I knew that this quarter one season, January, February, March, was going to be tough. I knew I could kind of see it coming, that there was a lot of things that I was working with, a lot of different projects. I do a lot of random stuff in my life, and I was like, man, quarter one's going to be rough. And I knew that, okay? And so as I was heading into it, I was like, okay, it's just going to be a grind. It's going to be a grind, and that's okay. You know, some seasons, it's okay that it's like, okay, this season is going to be hard. We know it. We're going into it. Let's roll, okay? But I realized just this past week that I have not had enough margin in my life. Does anybody know, feel that? Like when you don't have enough space to kind of breathe, you know, you may look at it like from a musical composition, you know, you got to have your rests. You got to have time, even if it's like an upbeat season, even if you know that it's time to hustle and it's time to roll and it's time to work, like you still have to have moments where you take a beat, where you rest, where you kind of unwind, where you reflect, where you kind of pause. And I just realized in the last week that, like, man, I did not do that in quarter one. Quarter one is almost over now. And I took a moment to reflect on these past 3 months. I was like, ooh, that's been rough. But you know, right, we all know that it's important to rest. At least we know it up here. We may not act on it. Of course, Jesus took time to rest. We know that. God, obviously, we read in Genesis that on the seventh day he rested. Resting is really important. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. I just want to have a chat about rest. Because maybe it's just a moment for us to pause. And like, maybe I'm not going to say anything that's revolutionary to anyone today. But maybe we just need a moment to say, oh, maybe we need to look back and make sure we have healthy rhythms of rest. I read a really good book a few years ago by an author named Ryan Holiday. I've mentioned him a few times. He's written a few good books, whatever. But he writes oftentimes about Stoic philosophy. And some of the things I think are just so good that he says. In the book that I'm referencing, he has a book called Stillness is the Key. And it was all about rhythms of rest. And he quoted a Stoic philosopher named Epicurus. And he says, Epicurus says that the wise accomplish three things. And when I saw that, I said, oh, I want to be wise. That sounds good. Like, not a wise guy. Although I am that sometimes too. But like, I want to be wise. And so he said, the wise accomplish three things. And this has stuck with me. He says, the wise leave written works behind. They are financially prudent. And they cherish country living. And I thought, okay, I can dig that. And I think when you kind of wrap your brain around that, it's like, okay, so the wise, they take time to reflect written works. You could kind of say country living is like synonymous with like a time to reflect, if you will. And they act on it, you know, being financially prudent. And I thought, okay, those are some good things. You know, you can take that if you want. And then he had another quote that I thought was perfect for our society. He said, if solitude is the school of genius, then the crowded, busy world is the purgatory of the idiot. And I feel that way sometimes, right? It's like, man, I'm cramming so much in. I must be an idiot for trying to think that I can do all these things and not take time to have solitude and rest and reflection and just filling all the margins. When you fill all the margins, there's no space to take notes on the from the page before because you don't have any space left. So I think that that's just something I wanted us to reflect on today. Like, are we living with enough margin? You know, like I said, I believe in seasons. Obviously, the world works in seasons, as we know. Like, we're just coming out of winter into spring. Maybe sometime soon, hopefully. You know, and then spring will give way to summer and on and on and on. And of course, we all have seasons in our lives, right? When we're kids and then we grow up and we become young adults and then we do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. We progress in seasons. But even in a season which I knew I was heading into, a season of busyness and hustle and work, it's still important in those seasons to take time to rest and reflect. You may remember that I told you that my word for the year was longevity, and I've talked about that already, so I'm not going to talk about that again. But as it's kind of struck me this week that I was living with not enough margin, I thought, well, that's pretty stupid. You're not going to be good at longevity if you burn out, because that's exactly what happens when you live with no margin. When you live life, you know, too fast and hard and you don't take time to slow down or reflect, that's a surefire way to burn out. And so I was sitting there thinking about this. I'm like, well, you dummy, you picked that word. You wanted to reflect on these things and then you didn't. You guys ever do that? It's like, I'm going to do this thing, or maybe I could do the opposite. That could be fun. It's like in right when Paul writes in Romans 7, right? The I do what I don't want to do, you know, like I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, and what I what I say that I don't want to do. I do. It's like, I feel that sometimes. It's like, you know, oh, man, taking time to rest and reflect is really important to me. Okay, well, maybe you should do it then. Because sometimes what we say is important doesn't get acted on. It's like I know better, but yet here I am. And so as I reflected this week and was preparing, you know, for this sermon, I came across another sermon. So this is a separate one than my chat from last year. And it was a sermon on self-care. So I was already kind of down the path. Okay, I want to talk about rest. I want to talk about reflection and yada, yada, yada. And then I saw this one on self-care. I was like, oh, yeah, if the shoe fits, right? And it is so, this concept of rest and reflection, it is so important that, like, in my opinion, when Jesus gave us his number one commandment, right, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, it's a key factor in this commandment. Is you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself, if you're not taking care of yourself. You can't do it. It's not possible. You can't love, you know, you can't give out of an empty tank, if you will. And so, again, Jesus, I think, was the best example of this. We see it constantly in the New Testament. When the crowds press in and demand more of Jesus, he just, like, I mean, sometimes he just straight disappears. It's like, where did he go? He takes time. We hear over and over again that Jesus got up. You know, he went to a quiet place. He went to be by himself. Jesus was an example of this, and he had a pretty important job. I don't know. That's just me. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks, I guess. It was kind of a big deal. But when we love ourselves, our love for others and for the work that we do pours out of us. Because if we take time to take care of ourselves, it creates this natural flow. Resting and creating margin or a space to reflect on who we are and who God is calling us to be is a pivotal part of loving ourselves. But the world feels like it's too fast for that, right? Like what Ryan Holiday said, we're living in this purgatory for idiots, it seems. Like everything around us is just like produce, 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 more, more, more. We have to grow. We got to do more. We got to do extra. And like our world has become so like efficient in some ways that we produce, like, think about what you produce compared to, like, the, you know, what people did 30 or 50 or 100 years ago. Like, we, like, it's unbelievable some of the efficiencies in our world, yet there, but we need more. We need more. There's always more, more, more. It feels like we're just stuck in this. We have to be productive. And I know me personally, does anybody else, like, sometimes I feel like when I'm not being productive, I'm doing something wrong. Anybody? Yeah. Yes. And it just, sometimes you just feel, again, we're stuck in this purgatory for idiots. We're like, we have to produce or else you're just, I don't know, you're being selfish or you're being lazy or you're being, you know, we get all these negative feelings. And so all of this culminated in leading me back to one simple quote from Jesus, and it's our main verse for today. And we're not going to belabor the point, and we're not going to, like I said, we're just having a chat. We're not going to go on and on. But it was this verse from Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I don't know about you, but that verse kind of brings me comfort, but it kind of also makes me wonder, what the heck's a yoke? Anybody else think that when they read this? You know, we don't live in an agrarian society, so like we don't have yolks just hanging around. It's not talking about eggs. A yolk is something completely different. But the hearers of the word here in first century Palestine would have known exactly what Jesus meant. They would have known physically what he meant and metaphorically what he meant. So as you see, physically, this is what a yoke is. It is kind of a collar. It's like a wooden cross piece that's fashioned over the necks of two animals and attached to a plow so that they can work evenly and share the load and yada, yada, yada. This was very commonly used piece of equipment in the first century. But there's also another meaning to this, a metaphorical meaning that, again, these first century listeners would have known. This yoke was also referring to like the weight of a task or an obligation. Like a yoke could have been the burden of teaching that was being given to you by any given teacher. You know, it could have been the yoke of some, you know, Pharisee that you followed or some rabbi. This was their obligation or task that they were handing to you as this is the yoke that you must carry, the burden, if you will. And so this is what Jesus is referring to. He says, my yoke is easy. Well, what is it? What is Jesus referring to? Well, I mean, I think I already said it, right? Jesus summed it all up. He simplified all the law when he gave us the passage that I already quoted before, which was simply, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not two commandments, but one. One simple commandment. Not necessarily easy to execute. I don't think that's necessarily what Jesus meant when he said easy. Although I don't know, you know, it's hard to say. I wasn't around in the first century. But when I read this, you know, I hear Jesus referencing this, even though their society is so much different than ours, I hear Jesus consoling us and saying, listen, you have to take time to care for yourself. Loving God, loving others, loving yourself is our burden. It is the yoke, and it's all intertwined. So my friends, my hope for you today is, especially if you needed to hear this sermon as badly as I needed to hear it, because I did, I do, my hope for you today is that you will take time to slow down and rest and reflect. Again, as Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I hope that you will reflect on who God is and who he's calling each of us to be. I hope that you'll be invigorated by this care for yourself and that you will be filled to all measure of fullness to love others well. Again, the yoke that Jesus has given us, to love God, to love others, and to love yourself. That's my prayer for us. That is all I wanted to chat about. And I hope that if you're in that space this morning, my hope and my prayer is that you will take time, that you'll take time to rest, take time to reflect, because it will be worth it. It will be worth it. You don't have to produce all the time. But God has called us to these rhythms of work and rest, and they are good. Let's pray this morning. God, we're so grateful for who you are and who you have called us to be. God, we are just so in love with you. God, we're so in love with the ministry of reconciliation that you have given us. We're so in love with the person that you have created us to be. God, we want to love and care for ourselves so that we can love our neighbors, so that we can love you, so that we can become the people that you've created us to be. Continue to speak to us. Continue to lead us, God. We love you and we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for this church. We're so thankful for our family that we can come together each week and encourage and challenge one another. God, we just ask that this service each week would be a reminder. God, that it would be a reminder to take a beat. God, we love you. Continue to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.